Well, hey everyone, so good to see you, all of our amazing Lifehouse people all over the world, wherever you're watching from, a huge, big, warm welcome to church. And I'm so glad that you guys have taken a bit of time right now to just really sit under God's word and receive from God's word. It's such an amazing and valuable practice to listen to God's word being preached and proclaimed and just spoken into our lives. It's such a powerful thing. So thank you guys. We're going to pray right now and just really get our hearts ready because we're in the middle of a series about sowing and reaping. And I just believe it's something God wants to say to you and to me and to our whole church right now is we're in a season of sowing and now's the time to sow and just so many good things are going to come. So we're going to pray. God, we thank you that you have called each and every single one of us. God, you are going to speak to every one of us. You have something to say to us today. I pray our hearts would be open and ready to receive it and all other distractions would go and we'd be ready for your word. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, today I am going to speak to you guys on the subject of sowing and reaping. And today I've called this message, Now is the Time to Sow. Now's the time to sow. And I want to have a look at a story in the Bible from Matthew chapter 13. It's a story that Jesus actually told about a tree. And there's definitely some great things in here for us, okay? So let's read it. Verse 31, I'm reading in the ERV, easy to read version. And it says, then Jesus told the people another story, okay? God's kingdom is like a mustard seed that a man plants in his field. It's a very small seed, but when it grows, it becomes the largest of all the garden plants. It becomes a tree big enough for birds to come in and make their nests in the branches. This is a picture of the kingdom of God, how God likes to build things. He likes to build things that start small. They start off small, but they don't stay small. And this is a picture of the kingdom of God. God's kingdom is always expanding, no matter what the circumstance or the situation around the world. For the last 2,000 years, God's church has been continually growing and it's full of life. It's full of places where others can come into it and find life and build life. This is the church. This is the way because at the center of the church is the kingdom of God. It's a seed that's been planted and it's very, very powerful. Now, I want to talk to you today about planting and there's some seeds that take a long time to grow. Like this tree right here that we just read about, I mean, it was planted many, many years ago, maybe generations ago. And it's easy just to be, you know, walking around and seeing a tree and to not really think about the process that tree's been on or where it's come from. It's easy to look at people like that as well and see that everything started at a very small seed. And seeds take time to grow, so we need to sow them quickly. I remember when I was a teenager, we always grew up in my farms. Growing up, we had a lot of fruit trees. We had orchards. There was always fruit around our houses growing up. And I remember when I was a teenager, my father and I, we planted a bunch of fruit trees all around our house. And there were seeds that were very small and we planted them. We chose the positions and my father had a vision for what was to come. You know, I wasn't really thinking too seriously about it, to be honest. But, you know, I helped him out. He did most of the work. And I remember sitting out on the patio, the porch, and watching my father do most of the work, looking after the trees. And people would say, where's Dad? And they would say, yeah, fruit trees. He was always in the fruit trees, always doing something with the fruit trees. And well, 2 years later, I moved to Japan and I saw the trees grow a little bit, but I actually never actually tasted the fruit of those trees because I left too early to see that. And fruit trees take time. So anyway, fast forward 12, 13 years later to recently, my parents are outside. I'm calling my parents. They're outside with their phones. You know, they're a little bit older, but they're trying to work out how to do the camera and the phone. And they're showing me the fruit trees, and I'm shocked. because the fruit trees have grown so much, they've actually become bigger than the house. They're huge now. And not only that, they are so jam-packed full of fruit. Recently, the mandarin tree was so full of fruit, it was crazy. Thousands of fruit that I have a huge family, maybe 60 or 70 or 80 people in my family. People were coming, just my whole family getting together and picking all of the fruit, but there was still too much fruit for them to eat. So they get all the grandchildren, you know, trying to climb the tree, hoping someone doesn't fall out, and they're filling buckets, taking buckets home in cars, trying to eat all the fruit, but there's still too much fruit. So the people were driving past, getting out of their cars and coming and knocking on the door and saying, could we take some of your fruit? And my dad's like, please, here's a bag. Take as much as you want. But still, there was too much fruit. So my parents found a bunch of refugees from another nation who immigrated into Australia and gave them a huge load of fruit as well, just to bless them. But still, there was too much fruit left over. They couldn't eat it. And by the time that they were done, this one tree had fed over 100 people to full, and there was even more fruit left over. Doesn't that sound to you like a picture of the kingdom of God? When God starts something small, but it will become big and it will bless many people in the future. That sounds like the church. That sounds like our church. Well, not only the mandarin tree, but the next month was the lemon tree, and the next month was the blueberry tree, the mulberry tree, and then the peach tree, and then the mango tree, and the cherry tree. And it was like all year round, there's an abundance of fruit. Anytime anyone comes, there's fruit everywhere, as much as you can eat, and to overflowing. This is a picture. This is the power, guys, of sowing a seed and then having the patience to wait for God to bring a harvest. Now, what's the best time to sow your seed? Well, the truth is, the best time to sow your seed is probably 20 years ago, right? That's the best time to sow a seed. Well, what's the second best time? The second best time is, of course, today. Today is the day to sow the seed, because when I sow the seed, it goes from being potential, in my hand it's potential, goes from being potential to ensuring my future. When I plant a tree, that tree becomes part of my future. I may not see the fruit of it for a while, but it is coming. There's seed in the ground, and if I wait, something good is going to happen. This is the same with you and me today. When you sow, you are ensuring your future. Something is going to happen. It is pointless to expect a good future when there's nothing in the ground, right? No farmer would ever do that. But when we sow, we can wait in eager anticipation for the day that God will bring about a great harvest in our lives. Why don't we just thank God right now for all the seed in the ground, all the plans that He has, the plan that God has for what is in our hand. I didn't mean for that to rhyme, but it does. And there's a plan that God has for what is in our hand right now. But the key is take it from potential into the ground, into ensuring the future. And so we talked a bit about this tree, about how it takes a long time. Now I want to talk to you about a different kind of seed that grows really, really fast. So we talked about seeds that take a long time to grow, right? Things that you sow today and you reap in 5 years, 10 years from now. But there's also some seeds that grow really, really fast. And this is encouraging to me because, you know, I've never met a farmer who plants things and doesn't expect a harvest, who doesn't hope and wish and desire for the harvest. That's the reason we are sowing the seeds, right? We want a harvest. and some seeds grow fast. And this is good news. Recently, I've been growing microgreens in my house. And some of you have seen some of these videos before. We grow a lot of things at my house. And the good thing, the thing that I love most about these microgreens is that they grow so fast. They grow so fast. And I've got some of these microgreens here right now. This one is some kind of lettuce. Lologus, something like that. I'm not sure. It's from Italy. Must be good. This one is from America. It's chicory. I'm not sure what that is. It's also from Italy. This one's from America, actually. And it's lololosu. I'm not sure what that means, but it tastes good. This one is a Romanian lettuce, one of my favorites. So good. I already opened this one. I've been sowing a bunch of these seeds at my house, and the seeds are quite small. I'll take this out so you can see it. This is the seeds. Tiny seeds. Tiny little seeds here. You can barely even see it. But pretty amazing that these seeds grow so fast. It's crazy. By day 3 of planting this, they're already like this big. And by day 7, you're ready to harvest them. It's so encouraging if you are new to farming or trying to feed yourself. But basically, my family eat this every single day. We make these trays of them. And basically, my kids just get scissors out and just cut them and just eat them. You know, it's just like an abundance of food with any time we want. And it's super cheap. It probably costs me 10% of what it costs to buy it at the supermarket. But my kids are learning about sowing and looking after plants. And it's just a really, really fun thing for my family. I notice on the back of these, there is always this this sign that says, days until harvest. Days until harvest. And this is really interesting because, you know, some of these say 7 days till harvest, some of them say 8 or 9 or 10. And all of us in life, we would love to have this, wouldn't we? We would love to have this sticker on everything that we do. I would love to know, okay, if I sow into my personal character for 60 days, I know at the end of that 60 days, I'm going to be married. We would love to have that date, harvest date. We would love to have that. We would love to have how many days until my harvest is coming. But we all know that life doesn't work like that. Some seeds grow really fast and other seeds grow really slow. And the truth is, what is in your hand right now, the seeds that God has put in your hand, you do not know if these seeds are going to grow slow or they're going to grow fast. So guys, what is our response? What should our response be to sowing? I want to read you this verse from Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 16. This is an encouraging verse for you guys. It says, "Sow your seed in the morning and do not be idle with your hands in the afternoon." Some translations say, "And sow again in the evening, for you do not know whether the morning or the evening planting will have success, whether this or that, or whether both alike will be good." The truth is, you don't know what the seed is. You don't know the plan for the seed that God has in your hand. You don't know whether it's going to be today, next month, next year, or maybe for the next generation. We don't know. So our response is, sow today. Keep on sowing every day. There's winter plants, there's autumn plants, there's summer plants, there's spring plants. We sow in every single season. This is the way that God's kingdom works. And maybe you're thinking, I've sown in the past. I mean, I had enough sowing. I've put enough time and effort and finance into this thing, and I'm just not seeing the results yet. And you can think, I want to quit, but I just want to keep on encouraging you. Don't stop sowing into what you know is right. If God has asked you to do something, if God has put the seed in your hand, He's asked you to sow in, then be faithful to keep on sowing. Whether it's this week that you're going to get the harvest, or next month, or next year, there will be a harvest. I love this verse in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. It's one of my favorite verses that I learned as a teenager. It says, "Don't become weary in doing good." Don't get tired, guys, of doing the right thing. It's so easy to get tired doing the right things over and over. Don't get tired. This is what the scripture is encouraging us to do, because you will reap a harvest at the right time, God's time, if you do not give up. That's a word for some of you today. Don't give up doing the right thing, because you will get a harvest. That is God's promise to your life today. I believe it. I want to encourage you to believe it. Keep on sowing into your life, into your marriage, into your faith, into your kids, into our church collectively together. Let's keep on sowing, because we know we will produce a harvest. Whether it's short or whether it's long, we will produce a harvest. Well, guys, I'm so glad to be joined by my good friend, Tim Evans from Lifehouse in Kobe, Japan. We have been friends for, 12, 13, 14 years. And how you doing, man?
Yeah, really good. Really good. Great to be here and really enjoying this series about sowing and reaping. It is so encouraging. And just listening to Luke's message before just got me really thinking about how this applies to my life, how I can live it out. And as a married person, I was just thinking, how does sowing and reaping, how does this kind of idea apply to our married couples, building our marriages? I'd love to hear your thoughts about that.
Yeah, definitely. This is so true in marriage, that there's things that we're sowing into right now. You know, it's so easy to turn a negative situation around, maybe with just a kind word or a prayer together, or just a stop and an attitude check, or just a helping hand around the house. We can easily turn around a negative situation into a positive. That's just like fast growing seeds, right? But there's also some things where we are, sowing in long term, where we're building cultural things. We're building some values into our marriage that do take time, that do take some long term seed growing, putting in the seed into the ground. And, no one's perfect. Definitely, we're not perfect, but I remember early years of our marriage, really sowing in some important things to us, like generosity. And we're going to be people who give, and we've just sown into that. And then 12 years later, we are absolutely seeing the fruit of that in our lives. Things like forgiveness. We are always going to forgive. It's going to be a central value of our marriage. And 12 years later, we are actually good at forgiving. It's a value in our house. So I just want to encourage people who are married that, sow in today, but also have a vision for sowing into, what do I want for the future? And sow those things in now. Maybe you haven't done it before, but now's the time when you can start sowing in today values that you want to have.
Yeah, that's great. And also think about, okay, children. I have a little 3-year-old daughter. And how does this kind of relate to sowing into the next generation, my future, my family? I was also thinking about that. What do you think about that?
Definitely. Very cute girl. Our little girls are very good friends. And I was noticing this, just recently. My son was maybe he's having a little bit of a down day. And I just noticed it. Like, he's such a happy boy and he was just a little bit down. And, it's so easy to change that around. I just thought, I've been doing a lot of stuff, but I need to spend just a little bit of time with him, just focus on him, go and kick the footy together, kick the rugby ball, and have some good father and son time, get an ice cream. And it was just amazing just how quickly he was able just to, he was just back. His spark was back. He was excited again. And it was just a very small seed that was able to turn that around. But I also think, I've tried as much as I can to be intentional with our kids about sowing into things that I know will take a long time to see a harvest in. Like, we're not going to see the fruition of some of the seeds that we're sowing right now in parents. We're not going to see it maybe until our kids are married and actually really flourishing later on in life. And I've just got a vision for that, to see our kids really flourish later on in life. And I'm just sowing now with that, you know, sowing in, teaching them to read the Bible now, teaching them to pray now, just that foundations of faith. And I'm just really believing that one day I'm going to see a huge fruit come from that.
Yeah, wow. I love that. Yeah, like I said, I have a little three-year-old daughter, and just sometimes I want the fruit the next day, or the attitude change the next day, and that is so encouraging to see the long term. Well, that's great, you know, and also just think about how this relates to just my personal faith. And as you were just talking about, I guess, sowing and reaping into our marriages and our kids, but also just the biggest thing that's built my faith journey has just been through God's word, through journaling, and just that every day, that little process every day of sowing through God's word.
Yeah, absolutely, man. There's no better way to sow into your faith, I believe, than through journaling. And, you know, when you journal, you're going to notice that there's going to be so many times when God speaks to you about this day, the current situation, just right now. It's exactly what you need to hear, the very word that you're journaling from. And I've experienced that. I'm sure you have too. So many times you read a bit of the Bible, you write something down, it's exactly what you need that day. But also, there's going to be times where God speaks to you about long term. He's going to be speaking to you about promises and dreams for the future. And it's so great to have those things written down as promises, as kind of like seeds of faith in the ground that you can continue to pray and focus on for your long-term future. And that's the power of journaling. It's for today, but it's also for the future.
That's so good. Yeah, that's really encouraging. And I have those notes in my phone as well. God's encouraged me. And
absolutely. So we're going to pray. I want to pray for you guys. I want to pray over the seed that's in your hand right now. You know, you've got a seed of faith in your hand, and whatever it's in your hand, it's potential. But we're talking about actually sowing it with faith, actually taking action, actually applying God's word. So we're going to pray right now and believe for just a great harvest to come. So let's pray. Thank you, God, for the seed that every single person has. And I pray, God, for an amazing harvest, God, to happen in people's lives as we sow in faith in the areas of finance and what we talked about with marriage and our kids and our futures and our faith. And I pray over our whole church, God, we'll just get a revelation that today is the day to sow in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So good.
Yeah, great. Well, and if you enjoyed that, but you also want to know more about Jesus, we would love to pray with you on that as well. And Jesus is amazing.
Yeah.
He changed my life, he changed Pastor Luke's life, and what he did for us 2,000 years ago, and he set us free. And right now, if you would love to jump into that incredible relationship, that's the first seed. That is the very first seed. That's where it all starts. I would just love to pray with you right now. So wherever you are, just get ready. We're going to pray with you. We're going to pray this prayer. Pray right with me. Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I will follow you.
Amen. Amen. So good. So good. Thank you guys. I hope you guys are encouraged by the message today. Thanks, Tim, for joining me, man. Really appreciate it. You guys have an amazing week and praying God's best for your life.
See ya.